views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, celebrating over 10 years on the air. Good morning, everybody. Today, the 15th of May, 7:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage for our people here in the front lines of fighting the COVID. And our phone lines were 605-4567, and I'm here with the virtuoso of the board. And I'll remember his name in a second. No, that's what I mean. And I'll remember his name in a second. No, it's Jared. How you doing, buddy?
Great. How are you?
Why am I sounding a little hot today? Is that just my, because somebody, I'm okay?
Yeah.
Does it sound okay?
Yeah.
Okay, buddy. What's the weather look like?
It's currently 52 degrees.
If you hear the giggling in the background, you know Dr. Kara Tennant is in the studio.
It's currently 52 degrees. Today is going to be mostly sunny with a high of 78, a low of 55. Saturday is going to be partly sunny during the day with a chance of showers Saturday night with a high of 78, a low of 56. Sunday, there's going to be showers with a high of 69, a low of 52. And on Monday, showers are likely with a high of 66 and a low of 49.
Okay. The weather report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, a locally owned, locally operated business here. Chuck and Judy Kinney have been successful in that. They've won awards for hiring veterans. They fed the whole VA, group here, the clinic, in both their outlying clinics here in town. One day just said, you know what, we appreciate what you're doing. That was a couple weeks ago. And you can get a hold of them at 365-3793 for all of your propane needs and other things there, such as generators. And they give discounts for seniors and veterans. Somebody wrote on my on the chat room, I know the whole med thing was a joke, but I'm not sure what they're talking about. But if you ever become a conservative, well, I've thought about it now and then. You know, really, I've thought about becoming a conservative. But it's just so much fun being liberal, because I'm not called on anything I do. I can say anything I want. I can demand more money. I can call people names and nobody says anything. I can be totally hypocritical and double standards. It's fun being a liberal. Something about renewing your CCW. Yeah, Jared just took me off the air. And I don't understand what it is, timid creation. That's who it is, timid creation. Anyway, good morning. And today I have Dr. Kara Tennant, our resident veterinarian. And at 8 o'clock, Doug LaMalfa, Congressman LaMalfa, is going to give us a call from the madness of wherever he's at back in D.C. And I can't wait just to hear. I can't wait to hear what's going on back there and that just how I mean, it's kind of like the school's been out for a while, and everybody comes back in and gets your pictures taken together, and you know, with your mask on. Good morning, Dr. Tennant.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
You can tell.
I know.
Already.
You're doing great.
I don't know. Punchy today. I know. Yeah. Hey, punchy. Punching.
Punchy.
Punchy. Yeah. Punchy today. Yeah. I don't know. I think something, I'm not sure, but when Sue makes the coffee and then leaves immediately after the news, I'm not exactly sure what she's added to the coffee, but this is pretty good. So, have you had it yet with the, when are we going to be able to start coming in? And are people going to be able to start coming in with their pups and
cats? I
know,
right? I think June 1st.
June 1st.
But we're limiting the number of people who can come in, and they have to wear masks, and they have to do all their 6 feet.
Okay.
You know.
So, have you noticed anything different during this time as far as the animals?
You know what's really interesting that I've seen is animals that come in to see me that are normally aggressive, that I have to muzzle when I'm examining them, have actually not been aggressive. And people are very concerned that they can't be with their pets. Especially with these animals that need to be muzzled. But They're doing great. They do better without their owners. And I've only seen two in the last 2 months that were better with their owners.
Really? Don't.
Yeah.
So I've always heard that, you know, I was walking with this lady one time. She had her dog, and a bunch of other dogs came up. And I said, aren't you concerned? And she said, no, they'll work it out. She says, I can't be there, though, because I'm her pack. And if she thinks her pack is there, then they're braver.
Mm-hmm.
So would that have anything to do with their parent? You know, if their owner's there, they think, okay, my pack's here, I can do this?
Yeah, I think so. And they're protective, too. You know, they want to protect their owner. And so that's just been really neat for us to see. And there are some dogs that we know they're just better in the treatment area. We just bring them away from the owner. We have the owner step out. But now, you know, we can't have owners in the hospital, so we don't have that choice. But we're examining them away.
Without that.
Yeah.
Okay, and I can see this, that they don't have their backup with them.
No.
And so it's like,
These animals are doing great. I've had to muzzle two animals in the last 2 months. That's just insane.
How many do you usually muzzle? I mean, an average.
Two a day, maybe.
Two a day?
2 to 5 a day, maybe.
Really? What kind of dog? And they're all kind of
everything.
Different.
Everything.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from little ones
to... Chihuahuas, Lhasas, German Shepherds, everything.
I've only been bitten twice by dogs.
Me too.
German Shepherd and a Lhasa Ops. Got me. Got me on the calf. Just walking by, you know, and it just...
Yeah. No. Did you hear about that French bulldog who killed his owner?
No.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Earlier this week in Illinois.
A French bulldog?
A French bulldog killed the owner. You always hear, you know, people are afraid of pit bulls and these bigger dogs.
Yeah. Rotties.
Rotties.
And a French bulldog.
French bulldog.
Well, you know, they're pretty dense. I mean, dense in the sense that they're heavy and muscular. And if their owner was on the ground...
I guess he was a rescue, and he was bred to fight, so he was probably pretty beefy.
French bulldog.
French bulldog. I know. Not the breed that you would think about being aggressive.
I've never even heard of a French bulldog biting anybody, but I'm sure they do.
They do try sometimes.
Well, you know, I'm not going to get into the point that if you do pass away and your loving dog, you know, what happens.
Oh, my goodness.
No, let's not get into
this
that.
This just went dark.
Just went dark.
Really fast.
Fast. Okay, let's brighten it back up again. And the fact is, though, is the your animals without their owners there have been behaving a lot better.
Yeah, wow. They have.
Yeah.
And I know the owners are really concerned about it, but they do great.
Well, now we're not noticing anything different with Elk Killer, you know, but except the fact that she now is with somebody. I mean. All the time.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time. And then Linda came in to work Wednesday, and she was gone a total of maybe 2.5 hours. And in the time that she was gone, the dog pooped on the floor. Is this something people are going to have to...
I think so.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
That because this is animals are just what? They're just...
They're sensitive to change.
Okay.
And especially dogs. I mean, we've all seen the cartoons that talk about dogs being so happy their owners are home and cats not being happy that their owners are home. Cats are sensitive, too, and a lot of these cats are happy that their owners are home. But when their owners go back to work or they leave when they're used to having their owners there all the time, they get sad and scared. And
would they have anxiety?
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety? So you can't just, like, be home with them all the time. Yes, people. A lot of people have been, and you know, thank God we're starting to open up again.
Yeah.
So then you go back to work, and the dog is now by themselves for 7 or 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to have an impact.
It is. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of anxiety in the next few months.
And then when they have anxiety, they act out.
They
is
do.
That right?
They do. They urinate and defecate on things. They destroy things. So they'll chew your walls or your furniture. Oh.
And they've never done it before. It just now it starts. So how do you prevent that?
Oh, great question. I mean, I would start leaving for small amounts at a time. So, you know, go for 5 to 10 minutes and then come right back. You want to come back before they start getting anxious. So if you have the ability to watch your dog on video, like if you have one of the cameras or something like that, then you can watch your dog and then come back before they start getting really anxious. So that way they know that you will come back. And it takes a really long time to start increasing the amount of time that you can be away. Because your dog thinks you're going away.
So just take like a walk around the block without them and then come back. So they, back. And then the next time, 10 minutes to the store or something and back.
Yep.
Just so that they're, okay, so you get them back in the routine too. I think the biggest, problems I'm having with my people from being back so much is trying to, like when Jared comes in and says, Jared, you're wearing your pajamas again. Come on, man.
Oh, Jared. He's throwing you under the bus today.
Nah, I'm just kidding with you. I love him. He's like my brother. 7:15 in the morning, we've got to take a quick break. This portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Mary's Pizza. Mary's Pizza is getting ready to open up, but you know what? You're not going to find a better pizza than Mary's Pizza. They may already be open. I hope so. They're right down here on the corner of 44 and, I'm sorry, on Placer and Pine. And they're, that's not where they're at. They're on Tehama and Pine. They're on Shasta and Pine. That's where they are. They're on Shasta and Pine. And it is an extraordinary place to eat. And they have an outdoor place you can eat. So if you don't want to be inside, you can go outside in the sunshine and in the fresh air. And Mary's Pizza Shack been an integral part of our community for so long, have done so much for our people and our community here in town. So head on down there. Go down to Mary's Pizza Shack. We'll be right back with Dr. Kara Tennant, 7:16 in the morning, here on the 15th of May.
Redding Rancheria is proud of our efforts to help lead our community to reopen the local economy in a safe and effective way. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Redding Rancheria and a member of the Shasta County Roadway to Recovery Committee. I would like to thank Shasta County for practicing safe social distancing. As coronavirus cases continue to shrink, Shasta County is looking at ways to reopen our economy in a meaningful and safe way. Make no mistakes, we are not through this yet. We have, however, been blessed with an opportunity to discuss ways to reopen businesses. We are proud to play our part.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
This ad is not from Hodder FHA and was not approved by Hodder or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premie is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell Branch Manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579. Or go to rich4reverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
Welcome back to P5 Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567. If you've got questions about your pets and what's going on here, how to get them back into the swing of things if you've been home all this time, as many people have, because they're going to have anxieties. So make sure you give us a call. And this portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heated and Air. It's rainy and it's going to be cool. But now after that, you know what it means. We go from 72 to 104 in the space of 3 days. So is your air conditioner working? Does the thermostat work? Have Alliance Heated and Air check it out. Their people are trained to work on any type of HVAC system. They show up on time. They do their job. Very reasonably priced. Voted best in the North State, and it's a veteran-owned business. And it's local. It doesn't get any better than that. Why would you go anywhere else? Alliance Heated and Air. Oh, now, Jared, I totally screwed up the address for Mary's Pizza. You know I drive by it every day. And it is?
It is 1177 Shasta at East Street.
Shasta at East Street. I got Pine and East Street mixed up somehow. Okay. I'm here with Dr. Kara Tennant, Care Animal Hospital on Hilltop. And we talked about anxiety of animals, especially if you've been home for 20, 25 days. Nobody wants to be, but you are. So you see your animals a lot more. So when you leave, there's going to be some anxiety there because they're used to you being there. And it is funny, you leave for like, oh, forgot something. You walk back in, here comes the dog. You're back. it's like, oh, I walked out the door and came back. Come on. They don't have watches.
So cute.
Yeah. Okay. This time of the year, now things are blooming. What should we be looking for?
So I'm seeing a lot of ticks right now. And so everyone needs to be on a tick preventative. That includes your cats, because now we're finding that cats can be sensitive to some tick-borne diseases. We used to think they were resistant, but they can be sensitive. But dogs are really sensitive to tick-borne diseases, and humans are too.
As I know. You talked about that one day on the show.
I know.
That you got hit with a Texas tick or something like that?
Lone Star tick.
A Lone Star tick. Yeah. And you were in the hospital and everything.
I know. It was nasty.
Yeah. And so, people go, well, do they have those? Is that out here in the West, the Lone Star ticks, or is it mainly East Coast?
They're mainly Midwest, South, East.
Okay.
So I don't think there's so much on the West Coast.
All right.
But we see a lot of black-legged ticks and deer ticks and ticks that, transmit
what kind
Lyme.
Of, yeah, okay, Lyme disease. Lyme disease is very serious. What are the symptoms of Lyme disease?
So symptoms in your dog, very similar to humans, though I don't know a lot about humans.
Right.
That's going to be lethargy, joint pain. So what that looks like in a dog is they look like they're walking on eggshells. They look really like gingerly walking, almost like they're lame in all four legs.
Okay.
So, or they're walking on a hot plate. And they tend to have a fever. They don't eat very well. If you flex one of their joints, they will scream. And it also causes kidney failure. So what you see with that, if it's going to attack the kidneys, is going to be drinking more water, urinating a lot. And those signs.
Can you treat it?
Well, you can, but it's more. So the antibiotic we use decreases the bacterial load because Lyme disease is actually caused by a bacteria. But once it's in the body, it's going to be in there for a long time, for years and years, kind of wreaking havoc. And there are definitely dogs that are not symptomatic. They don't have any signs, but they'll show up positive on their Lyme test.
Mm-hmm.
And the vaccine, there is a vaccine for Lyme, and the test that we use does not interact with that. If they show up positive on a test, they're not positive because they're vaccinated. They're positive because they're exposed. A lot of people are really concerned about that. Not wanting to vaccinate their dogs because they feel like they're going to be positive on their test. But that's not the case. It actually can distinguish between vaccine and exposure, which is nice. Good to know. Now you can sleep at night knowing that.
Okay, so hang on just for a second. Test, test, test. Okay, is that better? Okay, it's time to do this weekend. I guess we're going to be doing microphone checks and all this. But how does this sound?
It sounds good.
Okay. Because it's... Because it sounds different. It really sounds different to me than the other one. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to do this, housekeeping in front of everybody, but... we're trying to, my microphone for some reason is spiking. And, anyway, anybody notice out there? Okay. I guess not. Maybe it's just us. You know, it's Friday. It has been a long March. It's March, like March 72nd. You know, I say May 15th, but there's no difference. It might as well still be March.
And you just wanted to liven up the Lyme discussion.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah.
I'm here with Dr. Kara Tennant. And, people are taking their dogs. I remember you were saying this on one of the shows. You're home, so you're using this time to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're using this time to work out, you take your dog with you.
Mm-hmm.
Can't start that dog on the 10K right away, though.
That's right. You can't go couch to 10K with a dog, just like you. It's going to hurt.
So,
and you're going to hurt yourself. So, yeah.
I noticed that, because, we'll take Gail Killer out to the dog park where she ambles around or trots at her own pace. But if you go out for a longer walk, she starts out with this, out there in front. But toward the end, she's just kind of like very, very happy to stop and look and smell roses and all this kind of thing. It's that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We have to get them in shape for walks or for runs.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So...
Anyway, so everyone should be on a flea and tick preventative.
Okay. And Now you can get different kinds. You can get a monthly kind. You can get some that that work. You have to give them the pill every month. You've got some pills you only give them once every 3 months.
Right.
Is there – what's the advantages of each one of those?
So the advantage of the 1 to 3 month or the every 3 month one is you give it once. And then you don't have to worry about it for the season, right? Because each season lasts about 3 months. The disadvantage is trying to remember when you gave that pill and when it's going to be due next. That's always hard to remember. The advantage to the once a month one is you give it at the same time as your heartworm prevention. It's every month and you remember to give it. The disadvantage is you have to give it every month.
But they work the same way.
They're in the same class, the same drug class. They work the same way.
Mm-hmm. What do you prefer? You prefer the 3 month because it's easier?
I prefer the monthly. I've used both. I have a dog who's pretty picky, and she won't eat the 3 month one, so it's just easier to have them both on the same thing.
You just stick it down her throat then?
No, I just give her the 1 month one.
Okay.
Yeah, if I crumble up the 3 month one and throw some canned food in there, then she'll eat it, but...
Is it okay to stick, just take your finger and just stick it down the dog's throat?
It is, but it's a pretty big pill.
Okay.
So I'd rather break it up into smaller pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elk Killer will eat the big pill. She'll take that one.
She likes it.
Yeah. You have to disguise it with cheese.
Yeah.
But then, but the smaller pill, she didn't like them. She spits them out, and then we get into the, here's my finger going down your throat.
Yep.
And, then she smiles and we give her the cheese.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good stuff. Yeah, and I like the tablets, and I don't really like the topicals, but I have, you know, I have a dog who loves to swim, so, and he needs, I give him baths a lot, so if I give him oral preventatives, I don't have to worry about bathing him. Okay. And also, I just don't like that greasy stuff. And then if you have cats and they happen to lick your dog, all of those topicals are toxic to cats.
There was something years ago that you put this you put a collar around their neck,
mm-hmm.
and it was killing animals. Do you remember that? This was, gosh, this has to be back in the 80s. So, yeah. You know, maybe before you were, it was obviously before you
were in
school.
Before I was born? No, just kidding. I was still here in the 80s.
We're going to take a break on that one. Cornerstone Community Bank is bringing us this portion of the show. Community-oriented, community-owned, bank of the board of directors are all community people here. And Cornerstone Community Bank, if I may say this, kicked butt when it got getting the PPP out to their customers. And hear this. They were helping people that weren't even their customers get that very important paycheck protection plan so they could keep their businesses open. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. They want you to move your dreams forward, and they're helping in every way they can. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com or stop by 192 Hartnell Avenue right here in town or 1845 California Street right down from Jack's that just opened up again, too. We'll be right back after these messages with Dr. Kara Tennant.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, "Our customers are warm friends." We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and 2 sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and 2 fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Everybody's saying it made no difference, so I'm back on my regular mic here. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live today, 53 degrees, partly cloudy. Tomorrow looks like rain, and Sunday now looks like rain. But today looks like you might be able to get by with just some sunlight and such. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair, another veteran-owned business that just been repairing windshields for, gosh, about 20 years at this point, maybe even more. He is a true virtuoso when it comes to fixing windshields. Whether it's a little bitty chip or a crack over 2.5 feet in length, he can fix it. He guarantees his work. You're never going to be sorry that you took your car down there to get your windshield fixed. And he is the one that he is the business that people are more than happy to recommend because he does it. He does it at a fair price. And like I said, he guarantees his work. 3208 South Market Street is where he's located, or you can give him a call at 241-8373. Crackmaster Windshield Repair. I'm here with Dr. Kara Tennant from Care Animal Hospital. And, you know, some things you read in the news are so sad, they're funny, that people would do things to themselves. And, of course, I'm talking about the people that ate the fish cleaning or whatever it was, the aquarium cleaning stuff that had the, you know, the hydrochloroquine in it. And one of them died. But then you just said something during the break. And I thought, oh, my God.
I know.
So what are people doing?
People are giving their animals fish antibiotics. And apparently some of them take them themselves.
Fish antibiotics.
Mm-hmm. Fish antibiotics. So, and of course, I'm seeing a lot of this because people don't want to go to their veterinarian or they're trying to save money,
mm-hmm.
which I get. I totally get. I mean,
but why fish antibiotics?
Because these are antibiotics that humans take and animals take. They're the same antibiotics. I mean, they've got everything pretty much, and you can. I mean, amoxicillin. It's probably the most common.
Uh-huh.
So the problem is that these are not regulated by the FDA. So what that means is if you're buying fish antibiotics and it says that there are 500 milligrams of amoxicillin in this capsule, that does not mean that there are 500, you know, milligrams of amoxicillin in that capsule. It doesn't even mean that it's actually amoxicillin in that capsule. You don't know what you're getting. It could be just, you know, plain powder. I don't know.
So what's the – but when you're taking it, what are you seeing? What are the side effects on?
I mean, a whole variety. So vomiting, diarrhea, swelling of the face, hives, fever, joint pain. I mean, the thing about antibiotics is antibiotics kill certain types of bacteria, and not all antibiotics are the same. So when veterinarians or human doctors – are trying to prescribe or trying, you know, they're prescribing antibiotics. They're picking antibiotics based on what they think is wrong with you and what bacteria is causing that problem. We don't just pick, you know, any antibiotic just off the shelf just because. For example, say you have a urinary tract infection. Well, not all antibiotics penetrate the bladder or the kidney. And so if you're giving, I don't know, say azithromycin or ciprofloxacin is a great example because ciprofloxacin is a fluoroquinolone. It's a very great broad-spectrum antibiotic and gets a whole bunch of bacteria. It's one of those antibiotics that we like to save for, you know, it's a big-gun antibiotic.
Mm-hmm.
But ciprofloxacin is not absorbed very well in dogs or cats. In humans, yes, but not in dogs or cats. So when people are ordering ciprofloxacin and giving it to their pets, it's basically like giving them water. It's, you know, it's not worth it. Also, we dose, and we as in veterinarians, dose all of our medications, almost almost every single medication on that pet's weight and on their physical exam on that day. So not everyone is going to get, you know, a 500 milligram capsule of amoxicillin. You're going to have, you know, a difference between a 4-pound cat and a 100-pound dog. And so what you need is your veterinarian to pick the antibiotic for mm-hmm. you based on the infection that veterinarian thinks is going on with your pet.
And you do that through your blood test or skin,
yeah,
or skin
samples.
As I've said
urine
before,
samples.
That time you did a slide
mm-hmm.
on a skin problem.
Right. And what I'm seeing this so often. And also, just to let everyone know, oral antibiotics do not treat ear infections. You need topical antibiotics. So when you bring your pet to me and tell me that you have been giving fish antibiotics to your dog because he has an ear infection, that is not treating your dog's ear infection. What it's doing is it's promoting bacterial resistance. And that actually can come down to humans too. So when you tell me you've been giving your pet azithromycin for their upper respiratory infection, can azithromycin treat an upper respiratory infection? Yes. Is it my first choice? No. Is it my third choice? No. It's like my fifth choice. Mm-hmm. And the reason is there are better antibiotics that can treat it. And also, when you go to the doctor for an upper respiratory, azithromycin is going to be one of the first antibiotics your doctor gives you. And if all the veterinarians are giving azithromycin, or if pet owners are giving azithromycin, that's going to cause bacterial resistance. So then when you are sick, then that antibiotic is not going to work for you. So you really need to consult with your veterinarian about which antibiotic is best and get it from something that's reputable, that you know if it says, you know,
500 milligrams, you're going to get 500 milligrams.
Exactly.
Because, you know, even when you go to the generic, the difference from what I understand, generic drugs mm-hmm. and then the, you know, the name brand drugs mm-hmm. is fillers mm-hmm. that they put in it. They will have the same amount of the, you know, of whatever that medicine is, mm-hmm. but then the fillers are different, which make the pills dissolve differently. Mm-hmm. They'll make it, you know, so, you know, Linda can tell the difference between a generic in what, you know, in this prescription she has, whether it's the name brand or a generic brand. I mean, mm-hmm. It's just immediate. She can tell.
Well, you can between ibuprofen and Advil, right? You know, Advil has that nice, sugary, smooth coating, mm-hmm. and ibuprofen, you know, it's a little chalky tasting, and it's different. You can tell that it's different. And there are definitely generics that work really,
yeah.
really well.
Sure.
And as a veterinarian, we have access to all sorts of generics, and if cost is an issue, we can work around that most of the time. You know, we are not, in general, giving you the name brand, most expensive antibiotic they make. You know, we want your pet to get better, and we're not going to be giving you something that's astronomically expensive unless it's indicated, you know, unless we have no other option. And in some cases, we don't. Luckily, that doesn't happen too often. But really, do not get fish antibiotics or something that you can find off the internet without consulting with your veterinarian first.
Yeah, at least talk to you
mm-hmm.
about it, because
yeah,
you know, if you, obviously you're doing it because you want your animal to be healthy,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes doing something like this could cause just the opposite.
Yeah,
make them have all types of side effects plus whatever they have.
Right, and it's not just your pet; it's humans too. I mean, bacterial resistance is a huge problem, and every time antibiotics are given, there's a risk that bacteria that we're treating is going to develop a mutation that's going to be resistant to that right. antibiotic. And then that mutant will multiply, and then we've got resistance. And it's happened. I mean, it just keeps happening, and we're getting less and less antibiotics.
Where are most of the antibiotics that you use on your animals made? Of course, it's the same. A lot of cases, it's the same as humans. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've read, you know, anywhere from 94% of the pharmaceuticals to 13%. So I'm sure the answer must be someplace in between there. Of the pharmaceuticals come from China.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea?
You know, a lot of them do. There's some plants in Texas and Michigan where a lot of the medications come from.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a plant in Mexico.
But do most, of the, most of the medications like this, the antibiotics and, you know, things, pharmaceutical products, come from out of the country?
You know, I don't know.
Okay.
I'd have to look at the bottle.
That's something we're going to have to check. Because, you know, like I said, I heard, whoa, 94% of the farmers, you know, that could be one of those statistics that are made up on the spot, but I did read it. And I thought, that's an awful lot of our pharmaceuticals coming from a country that's really not our friend.
Yeah.
So, and then I've heard that, well, it's, you know, it's 13% from China, and it's, you know, it's some more from Mexico, and there's some more from this country. But we don't have a great big capacity right here in the United States for making our own pharmaceuticals, which is another, I think, is a strategic weakness on our part. Not being able to take, you know, have the ability to have those medications churned out in our own country. So, yeah, it is something to check. I'm with Dr. Kara Tennant from Care Animal Hospital, and we're talking about people that will, they want to, you know, their dog has a dog or cat has some kind of sickness or cough or something, so they get antibiotics off the shelf, off the internet, and give it to their animal. And Dr. Tennant has said, you know, understand why you want to help your animal, but you could be giving them something totally wrong that makes the whole case worse. You know, you need to consult with your veterinarian before you start giving drugs to animals, because just even the side effects are could be horrendous, mm-hmm. which and it doesn't solve the problem. And antibiotics are not going to work that you put into the bloodstream are not going to work on ear infections. That's going to take something squeezed into their ear.
Yeah. You know, and it's just like anything, skin infections, urinary tract infections, kidney infections, ear infections. I mean, every antibiotic is concentrated in a specific area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, say you have a prostate infection and you're a big 100-pound pit bull and, you know, you're trying to give them, I don't know, some fish antibiotic. Well, there are very few antibiotics that actually penetrate the prostate, so you might as well just give them water. You know, just come to your veterinarian, or if you have a relationship with your veterinarian, call your veterinarian. Because if you have seen your veterinarian within the past year, your veterinarian can actually give you advice over the phone.
Because they've seen your animal in the last year.
And you have a relationship. Yeah. It's a, you know, valid client-patient relationship.
Yeah, just like your doctor. You know,
exactly.
Like a regular doctor.
Okay. If you've never seen a veterinarian, though, they will not give you advice over the phone.
No, how could you? It's like you giving,
well, it's illegal,
it's like, well, it's like you giving advice here. You're giving general advice. Mm-hmm. You're not talking about a specific animal because
right.
you couldn't unless they brought them in. Okay. I'm here with Dr. Kara Tennant. We're going to take a quick break. Gents, Four Winds Jewelry is open now. 2225 Hilltop Drive. They're open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. It's the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. And let me tell you right now, you've been in there with your loved one for 4 to 6 weeks. Don't tell me you haven't made a mistake or two. Go down to Four Winds Jewelry and get the I'm sorry. Go to the I'm sorry case. And it ranges from a simple bracelet, maybe earrings, all the way up to the tiara and a multi-diamond necklace that goes around her neck if you've really been bad. So, Four Winds Jewelry. Seriously, Rebecca's open down there. She and Henry open down there. It's a great place to shop. They have a super selection of jewelry there and always fairly priced. That's Four Winds Jewelry. We'll be right back with Dr. Kara Tennant.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Shasta College has been a vital part of this community for over 70 years. Look around.
You probably know many of our successful graduates serving our community in high-demand, high-growth fields like nursing, law enforcement, accounting, communications, and agriculture. Summer enrollment is happening now. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply to enroll for the summer semester. Classes start June 8th. Looking for a transfer? Save money and time by spending your first 2 years at Shasta College before you transfer to a university. High school students, summer is the perfect time to earn college credit with no tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
No tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here, 605-4567, 53 degrees out there. Weather report's brought to you by, and it's going to be sunny, it looks like today. Well, it's partly cloudy, let me put it that way. But I always, you know, the glass half full, we're going to have a lot of, you know, we'll have sun today. It will be raining tomorrow, though, and Sunday, it looks like, and some rain next week. So, weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Discounts for seniors, veterans, 365-3793. We're with Dr. Kara Tennant. And Dr. Tennant has been talking about, you know, Lyme disease and ticks. She's starting to see that. Not giving your animals antibiotics if you find on the internet, because if you don't use the right antibiotic, one, it does no good. Two, it could actually even harm the healing process. And never give them fish antibiotics because you don't even know what's in that. So, I mean, that's all, you know. But, okay, now, you wanted to talk about anesthesia with your animals because if you've started the spaying and neutering again.
We have.
Okay.
Yeah. And the procedures we've been doing in the last couple of months are all, you know, these have been animals that need to go under anesthesia because we've not been able to do routine, you know, spays and neuters for the last couple of months, which has been such a bummer. You know, so we're seeing lots of kittens and all that, you know, all the fallout from that. But I get questions almost on a daily basis about anesthesia and our pets and going under anesthesia and what to expect. And it's very similar to humans. We have all the equipment we use is basically for humans. So when you go in to go under anesthesia and you sign all that paperwork, you know, we do all the same thing So we have animals are they're always fasted before they go under anesthesia, and that is because anesthesia can cause nausea and can cause vomiting. And if you have eaten, you're going to be more likely to vomit. And if you vomit, and we have a breathing tube down your throat, an endotracheal tube, then that means that vomit can go down your endotracheal tube straight to your lungs, and then you have aspiration pneumonia. So if you
that's why they're really strict on people eating, and in your case, animals eating, because you don't want to lose an animal because it had a it had breakfast that morning.
Right. Yeah. So if your animal has breakfast that morning, then postpone the procedure. And there are drugs that we can give to make the animal vomit, but I don't recommend that. I recommend postponing unless it's a, you know, life-saving procedure. But we also have all the monitoring equipment. We monitor the SpO2, which is the oxygen saturation of the blood while they're under anesthesia, to make sure they're oxygenating well. We have the ECG, which measures the electrocardio output of the heart, you know, the electrical activity, which is what you see on TV, the ECG.
Yeah, ding-ding.
Yep, exactly. So we monitor for arrhythmias, any abnormalities there so that we can fix that.
This isn't just like when we're rounding up cattle, is it? When you drag the calf over and throw it down you cut and you throw the Rocky Mountain oysters into a bucket and you hit them with some antiseptic powder and give them a shot.
No.
And then they just trot off.
No.
They don't trot off the same way they trotted in, but they trot off. But you treat your animals.
Right.
You don't do that with your animals.
We don't do that. No. I mean,
sew them up and everything.
We do. Yeah, we close everything.
Okay.
So animals always get a pre-medication, so they get sedated before they go under anesthesia. So when we sedate them, that allows us to use less anesthetic. Mm-hmm. And the anesthetic is going to be, you know, one of the more dangerous parts, because that's what's going to drop your blood pressure and drop your heart rate. And we can, you know, we monitor all of that. We monitor blood pressure as well.
But it doesn't take long to do. I'm not sure how it would be for a spay. It seemed like that would be a lot more intricate than neutering a dog. Is that true?
Right. Yep. So neutering is quicker. It's minimally invasive. We're actually not going into the abdomen. We're just removing the testicles through a single incision just between the testicles and the penis. So it's pretty fast, and most veterinarians can do that pretty quickly. All these animals get, you know, they all get pain medication, they get IV fluid therapy while they're under maintaining their blood pressure. I mean, it's...
Wow.
I know, pretty nice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, spay, I mean, everybody thinks it's a benign procedure. It's a major abdominal procedure. So, you know, we're going in, we're taking out the ovaries, we're taking out the uterus, and, you know, depending on the vet, it doesn't take very long either. I mean, anywhere from, you know, 10 minutes to an hour, kind of depending. If you're Dr. Howden over at Haven, it's going to be 5 minutes. She's the fastest surgeon I've ever
seen.
Yeah,
but that's what she does.
I know. She's good.
Yeah.
She's really good. Yeah. And then also the dentals. We talked a little bit about cleaning teeth and how...
Do you recommend people get... You know, you hear all these stories about, oh, my dog's teeth got cleaned and then, it, you know, collapsed.
Right.
I mean, do you hear those?
I do hear it every once in a while,
yeah.
But if your dog dies after anesthesia, then there's something else going on with your dog.
Right. But I mean, about from the teeth being cleaned.
There was something else going on.
Okay. It's not the teeth cleaning.
It's not the teeth cleaning.
Right.
So either the dog had heart disease or kidney disease or liver disease. There's definitely a possibility that your dog had an anaphylactic reaction to any of the drugs that was given or that were given, but it's very rare.
Thank you for being with us. You know, how long have you been doing this?
I don't know, 4 years.
Four years. Yeah. And you've had the Care Animal Hospital up there. Mm-hmm. VCA bought it. But you've seen thousands and thousands of animals. People know who you are. And you do volunteer work out at Haven Humane. So thanks for being a good part of our community.
Oh, thanks
Dr.
for having
Kara
me.
Janet. So you're going, you're on your way up to Oregon maybe this weekend? So are you going to be doing, well, if it's raining, do you still go out mountain biking?
I do.
You do.
I know.
Yeah.
Or I run. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, when we come back after the news, hopefully, Congressman Doug LaMalfa will be with us. He's going to be. He said he was going to do it, but you can never tell what goes on back there. So I'm going to check my mail and check my phone to see if he's been delayed or anything. But there's so much I want to ask him, and I'm sure that he wants to share with us about what's going on back in D.C. at this time right now. We'll be right back after the news. Carl and DeBott, this is KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Questions being raised about the accuracy of the rapid COVID-19 test that's used by President Trump, among others.
Federal health officials have been alerting doctors to the potential inaccuracy in the test by Abbott Laboratories, which is used at thousands of hospitals, clinics, and testing sites across the U.S. The same test is used at the White House. New data suggests the test may provide inaccuracies and false negatives. The head of the FDA recommends giving a second test to any person who tests negative but is suspected of having the disease caused by the coronavirus. Greg Clugston, Washington.
A couple of closely watched votes on tap today in the House. First, lawmakers will consider an historic rules change, one that would allow remote voting.
The Rules Committee approved the resolution along party lines 8-4 after 6 hours of debate with dozens of failed GOP amendments to limit the changes. It's expected to be a partisan vote when it hits the floor, given the widespread opposition from Republicans to voting remotely. Republicans warn that the changes would undermine the traditional nature of Congress, in which people gather together to debate legislation and risk encountering technological hiccups.
Capitol Hill correspondent Bernie Bennett says lawmakers will also take up the Democrats' $3 trillion coronavirus relief bill. That may clear the House, but approval not expected in the Senate, where Republicans want to gauge the impact of the trillions of dollars already allocated. They're also concerned about plunging the federal government even deeper into debt. New York State jumping on board the reopening bandwagon. Some businesses in several regions of the state, north and west of New York City, reopening today. But Governor Cuomo urges continued vigilance and caution as people go about their business. Retail sales plunged 16.4% March to April, that according to the Commerce Department. Stocks in the red on Wall Street, the Dow down 153 points, the Nasdaq off 94, the S&P down 27. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The results of an internal review of the performance of police during recent anti-government protests in Hong Kong.
The chairman of Hong Kong's police watchdog admitted that some officers might have gone beyond the law, but he said as an institution, the force had not fallen below expected standards, although it had lost some of its luster. He said officers had dealt with very difficult situations and had no option but to enforce the law. The report by the Independent Police Complaints Council into the demonstrations criticised protesters, saying they'd complained about police brutality while ignoring their own violence. The report ended ominously by saying Hong Kong was being dragged into an era of terrorism.
The BBC's Michael Bristow. Factory output rose last month as China's virus-battered economy slowly came back to life. However, job losses depressed consumer spending. News and analysis at townhall.com. A rules change for a key link in the nation's beleaguered supply chain.
The Trump administration's easing rules covering working hours for truckers. The industry has been pushing for more flexibility, but labor and safety groups oppose the changes, saying new rules will result in more fatigued truck drivers on the road. The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration is extending the maximum workday for short-haul drivers from 12 to 14 hours. For long-haul drivers, loading or unloading, filling out paperwork, or communicating with an employer or customer will count toward a mandatory 30-minute break after 8 hours of driving. Currently, drivers must go off-duty during breaks. The current limit of 11 hours of driving time in a workday was unchanged. Ron DeRockstra reporting.
President Trump's Mar-a-Lago Club partially reopens to members tomorrow as South Florida slowly reopens. The resort's beach club restaurant, its pool and whirlpool, will reopen after being closed for 2 months. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning. It is 8:05 in the morning, and this portion of the show brought to you by Shasta, or part of the show, the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. It's your health, your choice. Why not Shasta Regional Medical Center with all the great things they have going on over there? The way they're taking care of people, the high ratings they get from national medical associations. It's Shasta Regional Medical Center. What's the weather look like today, Jared, and tomorrow, and a few more days from there? I want you to work harder.
Okay. Right now it's 57 degrees, it's cloudy, high of 78 to low of 55. Tomorrow we have a chance of showers with a high of 78, a low of 56. On Sunday we have a 90% chance of showers with a high of 69, a low of 52. And on Monday showers are likely with a high of 66 and a low of 49.
Okay. The weather report's brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Gas Propane. You can give them a call, 365-3793. They have discounts for seniors and veterans at Shasta Gas Propane. Okay, we're waiting for Congressman LaMoffa to call, but in between, we can have some things we can talk about. Yesterday, the announcement was made from, I guess, the Tuesday meeting that all the places that are all the events, and Les Paul put this out, and saying that all the events that will be canceled over the next 12 to 18 months. And, my friends, if you have not seen that list, I mean, and Les just put down everything he could think of, you know, for our general area, everything from the Reading Rodeo to bar mitzvahs to funerals are going to be closed down. Now, on the line, we have Congressman Doug LaMoffa, and that's one of the things I'm sure will come up. But good morning, Congressman. How are you doing, and thanks for joining us.
How are you doing, Carl and listeners?
Well, I tell you what, I was just starting. I didn't know. I knew you were calling. I thought I had a couple minutes. That they put out this
list. I just try and wait for all the ads to be over with before I call, you know?
Wait a minute, that was the news. I'm not sure what the news is about, but Congressman, you know, even though businesses are opening up, all these events, and they made a list of them yesterday. I mean, it's everything from the Ready Rodeo again to funerals to birthday parties and all these places that people cannot gather.
Yes, so to call this opening up is a misnomer at this point. We're barely cracked the door, in my view. So I think, you know, until phase three of the four phases as defined is fully in place, it doesn't really feel like we've opened up. And I've seen where, you know, you want to go into a restaurant, you got to be, you know, separated tables and separated parties, which I suppose makes a degree of sense. But a restaurant normally doesn't operate on those kinds of numbers or volumes, so they're going to have to keep being backfilled with some type of federal aid in order to run their restaurant at half speed or quarter speed or whatever, because they're not going to stay around very long that way.
Well, Bruce Dean, Black Bear Diners, used to be a president of the Restaurants Association in California, said that their association believes that 30% of the restaurants are either not going to open or going to fail in the first few months.
Right. And I know at least a couple of his chain that are know, punting too down in Gridley, and I think in Willows, probably others I don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, pretty sad, because these are good gathering places, and you know, it's an important part of our normal socializing. All these events you're talking about, I saw a list that Les Baugh had prepared of all the things just in Shasta County.
Yeah, that was the one I was talking about. Yeah,
is that the one you're looking at? Yeah, maybe you forwarded it too. I saw those posts, but there's a gazillion of them just in Shasta County. I represent 11 counties in Northern California. So go ahead.
Well, the only thing I was going to say is I just made a comment on it, and in over 1,000 people. You know, it reached over 1,000 people with comments. But here's the thing: is you tell people they can't. You give a direction or an order that you can't enforce or won't enforce, and you tell people they can't have a funeral. I had a friend that died 2 months ago, a veteran. They have not been able to bury him. But what happens if 50 of us show up or 60 of us show up at the funeral? That's against the guidelines. You know, if you can't enforce something. Or won't enforce
it. Guidelines.
Yeah, you might as well not make that law because people then are going to ignore it. And then
it's not a law.
You know,
unless the executive in charge wants to declare a high level of emergency, basically taking control of everything under something pretty close to martial law, it's not enforceable. So, you know, and I think, again, you got to look at how everybody did this thing in the beginning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I think the vast majority of Americans said, okay, we do have a problem here. They were believing their leaders and said, all right, we'll play. You know, we'll do this. And so you saw everybody locked themselves down. Nobody had to go around. You know, cops didn't have to go around and ask, why is your kid having a play date at the neighbor's house or stuff like that. Maybe you saw that in Wisconsin. You know, people were adhering to it because, you know, most of them believed, all right, this is something we have to do. You know, you always have your outliers on that won't do anything, but they did it, right? So, and now they're seeing that there's a lot of conflicting information, starting with the study or the assertion by that Dr. Ferguson in England that seemed to be what they were using as their so-called gold standard at the time for how far and wide the virus was going to spread and how fast and how many people would die from it. Well, we saw those numbers were like 86% overblown worldwide and nationally. So time and time and time again, people are hearing conflicting numbers, conflicting concepts of this whole thing. And now it's become so political now, nobody believes anything on it. And I think what we're really seeing is that this is somewhere worse than maybe a normal flu, but not the bubonic plague, you know. So we're treating it. It's not as bad as H1N1 and some of these other ones that have gone through in recent years. So, you know, people kind of have a natural inclination of what feels right, what feels like it's become propaganda or you know, a manipulation here. And it's really turning into that for them. You know, Carl, how they take may have heard how they set speed limits is where they'll do a traffic survey and whatever 85% of the population is doing speed wise is more or less what they'll set the speed limit to, you know.
Oh.
So
huh.
it's kind of like that. The herd of the population kind of has a feel for at this point that they're kind of over it.
Well, we call it the social contract. You know, I will protect you protect me, but there's got to be an ending to it. And in just what you said, there's so many conflicting reports. You know, we got this doctors on from Stanford that did the report, you know, the study that's been replicated that says many more people have had CV-19 than anybody ever thought, which means then is it's not as dangerous as people thought. So, I mean.
Yes, but someone will come out and undermine that. There's one by USC that came out. Not too far from there, too. But then they'll say, well, the sampling process or the tests they were using were not accurate. They had too many false positives or false negatives. So they, okay, well, throw that out the window, too. So people, they hear this, they hear it. What is the agenda of the people saying that the tests aren't accurate? What is the agenda of USC or Stanford? What's the agenda of everybody? So you really have a lot of distrust on this. And my tone from the beginning is like, all right, well, let's listen to what they're saying. I don't think you need to dramatically change your life, but take the precautions, especially if you're vulnerable, to, you know, what it would take to keep you out of the situation that's risk. So we all heard in the beginning it was flatten the curve, you know, flatten the curve, meaning let's not have such a high ramp up of people getting this that those that are going to take it hard all have to be in the hospital at the same time, all have to be in our healthcare facilities at the same time, therefore overwhelming them, not only with those patients, but unable to take the normal flow of emergency traffic, you know, car accidents or whatever other things would normally happen in a health facility situation. So, okay, everybody did that. And now a lot of people are feeling like the curve or the whole thing is feeling like a big lie to them. That's why I ended up having a rodeo in Cottonwood the other day, because people are kind of saying, screw it.
Well, that rodeo, it's going to have one of two results. One is we're going to have more CV-19 positives, or we don't. If we do, okay, that tells us something. But if we don't, I think people are going to take a look at that and go, you know what? You know, there's no reason that we can't go to places and we can't be with each other. You know, they weren't socially distancing. They didn't have masks on. They were sitting in each other's laps. I mean, it's going to do one of two things, but we're not going to know for another, 12 days what it means. So,
as far as testing goes anyway, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So we're back here in D.C. I got it late last night for this week's votes on it. And so far, we've spent a lot of borrowed money to address this, and I grudgingly agree with the direction that it's gone so far. And then the legislation put out today, if you want to give it that word, so far we've had our first procedural vote on it to address the vote. There's two things. A proxy vote is coming up, meaning allowing the House members to vote by proxy, handing your voting card basically to the leadership team or whoever to do your voting for you in case you don't want to come to town. And then the other one is the big bill itself, $3 trillion worth of spending, which doubles the amount of spending we've done so far.
You know, okay. Congressman, when people say this, you know, you hear things, but there's so many things in this $3 trillion bill that have nothing to do with keeping our economy going. Am I wrong?
You're very right on this. And I've been just have not allowed myself to use the word stimulus attached to any of these bills.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here to stimulate. We're here to flatten the curve on the damage this thing is doing, so to speak, right? We're here to mitigate a disaster. This is disaster relief we're doing. Government has no place trying to stimulate the economy. Only thing we're doing is trying to keep the things alive, because government de facto mandate is not allowing them to do what they normally do. You know, the restaurants can't open up. The packing houses have been very limited because of the higher incidence of COVID running through the employees at packing houses. So we're not getting meat. We're not getting some of those products here. And so, you know, last week on a conference call, they said if they couldn't get those things going pretty quickly, that we're going to have to destroy 3 million hogs in the Midwest, maybe more by now. I hope that is not happening. I hope they've been able to figure it out and, you know, figure out some distancing and some protocols. So, but that also means at the store shelf, you know, that you're not getting the basic groceries you're used to, let alone the silliness of toilet paper. Here we sit in a region that has more trees per acre than it should have by far, and then we're running short of this stuff, you know. And we're seeing all the waste food that is getting plowed under or poured down the drain or, you know, destroyed.
Yeah, milk,
and we have
milk
shortages
beans,
at the store. It's just got to be driving people crazy, and that just kind of leads into the whole what is government doing here, you know, and they're tired of it.
Well, let me circle back to the initial thought was not a stimulus, but it was like disaster relief. The Paycheck Protection Program really pulled a lot of us out of what would have been a very, very, very tight spot.
And, yes,
you know,
sir.
And that I saw. You know, the $1,200, really, frankly, I didn't care about that. What I needed to do was be able to pay my people, because we were, you know, whether you believe it or not, we're considered an essential business. But that Paycheck Protection Program allows me to pay my people until we try to rebuild the advertising. And I just, you know, our advertisers are great. They've stayed with us. You know, some of them, though, have had to shut down, as you can imagine. Plus, every event that's been coming. I mean, everybody's taking hits on this. I mean, everybody's taking hits. But that truly saved a lot of businesses. And then the Small Business Administration coming in and paying your small business loan for 6 months. And that makes
you know how that's being painted, Carl? It's being painted that, you know, the businesses are paying their employees as if they were still working and as if they still had the cash flow to pay people, right, as if they're doing business.
Yeah.
And so we're backfilling the business. You know how that's being spun by the Democrats and by the, you know, media and some of the other left?
No.
Is that, oh, we just care about giving money to big business and handing it out. We're not helping the little people. The little people are being helped by the $1,200 and still receiving a paycheck and not going to work. So, you know, that's part of the nonsense of this business is that we thought in that short period of time in passing PPP, figure out the best mechanism was instead of trying to put checks in every single household and every single live body is to, you know, reimburse employers for doing that for us. Not so much for us, but for them.
Yeah, and that's what they were using.
It made a somewhat more practical situation since we already have to put out millions and millions of payments. And that's been hard enough to get going as it is with SBA. SBA, you know, as one of our colleagues said, the stuff they normally do in about 14 years, we had to try and get done in 14 days. And there's been lots of fits and starts over, you know, which bank you bank with and all this and all that. And, you know, it isn't great, but a lot did happen.
Well, it's happened for a lot of people. But the amount of money, and even though that we, on one hand we're saying this has really helped a lot of people to keep their businesses open, be able to to do that. The cost of this, we borrowed all this money, and now this new $3 trillion, you know, boogaloo. How are we going to pay for this, Congressman?
Well, as it is, these will all have to be done pretty much through treasury bonds, and so someone will buy them, and they'll have to be paid back over 30 years, all that. So this just adds to people that are probably 35 and under what they're going to be servicing for a good part of their adult life, and that weighs on me here, you know? I mean, this isn't just something to be taken lightly or like, oh, it's just more debt, you know, when the number increases from 22 or 23 trillion to up to 25 or 26, you know, some people like, oh, what's the difference, you know? And some of our smart economists say, it's not going to be inflationary in what it does. And maybe it doesn't, but you know, the boomerang on this isn't necessarily right now. This is 2 years from now. And this is what local governments, for example, are going to have to wrestle with, even the state level, because, you know, the property tax normally generated is going to be less in a year, you know, as these numbers, as this effect ripples through. Sales tax already down dramatically. So local government, state government, they got to be looking at things a lot different. They need to do it yesterday, you know. So the governor announced, I mean, it was interesting. We were on the phone call with the governor about 3 weeks ago. All of his California members, and he was really boastful about how great the California economy is. We have this surplus and all this and that, and then boom, boomerang, you know, 2 weeks later, it goes from $35 billion supposed surplus to about $54, $56 billion upside down. So yesterday he announced his cuts. Well, there should have been a lot of things cut earlier because you can see the snowball coming anyway. High-speed rail, still having money spent on it. We're still spending money. And he just announced more spending on illegal immigrants getting benefits in this state. So,
there's a whole long list of things. At the same time, he's cutting state workers' pay.
Yep.
I don't think that went over real big.
Probably won't. Especially when you're talking about first responders, you know? I mean, if the DMV never opened up again, probably a lot of people wouldn't be too upset by that as long as you didn't get nailed for not having a sticker on your car or a proper ID or whatever. But, you know, it's just there's a lot of things, a lot of state government functions that are duplicative of what federal government are. Why do we have a state EPA? Why do we have a state CARB? Why do we have a lot of things that are just extra layers of preventing the type of business from happening, if any, you know, water stories from being made, all that stuff. So, you know, I go on and on.
Yeah. I have a listener had a question about this $3 trillion package. They said, is the congressman going to support that?
I haven't seen enough in there that could make me move towards supporting that large of a package, you know.
Okay.
There's some good elements in there. There's some help for agriculture. There's some, you know, good pieces that if they're by themselves, we could be supporting. But this when you're really looking, when I look at this as a package, it should be focused on, since we're back here, you know, doing it in a hurry without any committees or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an emergency package, it should be focused on the emergency we're in. That should be how are we going to expedite reopening government. You know, is testing really as necessary as it's hyped to be? I don't think it is. I don't think a vaccine is going to be successful. Certainly we shouldn't be basing our whole reopening of our economy in phase three or phase four on the idea of having a vaccine nationally or internationally, because vaccines hit the mark anyway, miss the mark a lot of times anyway, with flu vaccines and this. Which strain are they going to go after of a virus that morphs anyway? Yet you hear, and again, I'm sorry, that sounds like it has to be political, but that's the Democrats are just pushing vaccine, vaccine, testing, testing. Not everybody needs testing. Not everybody is going to agree to a vaccine. So in this package we're looking at, I'm virtually certain I'm going to vote no unless some compelling reason pops up in the next few hours that changes my mind. But I don't see what that's going to be, because there's too much irresponsible. It's going to legitimize marijuana sales by making what's called the Safe Banking Act, which was a separate bill. They stuck that in here so that they can bank now. And marijuana is still an illegal, non-federally recognized drug, and we also know that there's plenty of bad side effects, whether they want to acknowledge it or not, and whether you have dispensaries or not locally, whatever. I strongly oppose that and will continue to. So that's one of the things in the package, as well as ballot harvesting, requiring the whole country to mail out ballots in order to benefit from ballot harvesting. And ballot harvesting is pretty close to coercion in some cases. And so, you know, people can opt now to have mail-in ballots, and some counties are already doing it all anyway, but I think that doesn't belong in here. And ballot harvesting, where anybody can go door-to-door and pick up ballots, is a dangerous precedent.
What is your opinion?
Negative effects of that in California.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, Newsom's already said that, you know, everything's going to be vote by mail. I don't like that idea. I mean, it's, you know, I don't understand what the concept is here. Do they just send it out do they send it to everybody that's got something from the DMV? Is it just registered voters? And, you know, again, this one size fits all. If you appear in where you represent, there's never lines. You know, we walk in and vote and walk out. 85, I
no,
think
it's
like 75.
No, it's the incompetent counties like L.A. County that have always had funny business with their elections that seem to keep their polls open until 11 or 12 p.m. because they have long lines. But, the, you know, the concept is like, hey, here's the rhetoric you hear that, well, people should not have to choose between their right to vote or risking their lives. That's great Democrat-led rhetoric there, too. Because, you know, by the time November was to roll around, if people want to go to the polls, this whole virus situation is going to have a completely different look by then. It's going to be probably mostly eradicated by then, you know, mostly subsided. Unless it, you know, as the doomsayers are saying, it's going to ramp back up again in the fall. Who knows? But we're making these plans to, without that knowledge, put this in place. The Dems have been poised to do this sort of thing for a long time, and they're taking advantage of this. You've seen some of them say, well, part of the outgrowth of this virus will be societal change. This is one part of that. So fair and secure elections are extremely important to the integrity of our process and in the mindset of the voters and our American citizens, that they've been conducted fairly. And ballot harvesting, as we saw in 2018, skewed that quite a bit. So there's more room for coercion with that in place. So anyway, those are some of the pieces of the bill. Just the idea of $3 trillion spending with that little that little process, it just shakes me anyway. So,
you know, how much do we have a few more minutes with you, Congressman? Because I skipped one break, but I need to take this one. But I wanted to ask you about what happened down in the 25th district down in Orange County. Now it was flipped, and it is, you know, and what you think about what's going on with the upcoming election with you know, Biden looking like he's going to be the...
Sure, let's go pay some bills, and I'll be back with you here.
Okay, great. Okay, let's take a quick break here. And this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center, rated in the top 50 hospitals in the United States when it comes to cardiovascular treatment and surgeries. Shasta Regional Medical Center has the Da Vinci machine when it comes to our elective surgeries or other surgeries. It's less invasive, less pain, and you get out of the hospital a lot quicker. All of this is at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your choice, your health. We'll be right back with Congressman Doug LaMalfa.
Coachmaster Collision.
Thankfully, it appears that Coachmaster Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Did you know that the I-5 property where we would like to relocate our casino was supposed to be set aside for Native Americans nearly 170 years ago? My great-great-great-uncle actually signed Treaty H, one of the 18 unratified treaties with the United States government, which unfortunately, like many promises made to our ancestors, the treaty was never ratified. Reading Rancheria is proud to play our part.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AddisonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here 605-4567. Today, 8:33 in the morning, 54 degrees out there, partly cloudy. A little rain tomorrow and Sunday, the 15th of May. And Whitten River Resort and Casino is opening this morning at about 30 minutes ago under very, very strict spacing, temperatures taken, masks being put on, but they're opened up at 8 o'clock this morning. So they are opening up for business today. And on the line, we have Congressman Doug LaMalfa, and who's back in D.C. now, and trying to get your arms around a $3 trillion bill that Nancy Pelosi wants to
waste on us. I'm not hugging this baby, Carl.
Well, I just meant just trying to figure out what's in it, but there's enough, you know, just from I've seen.
There's enough markers there to say this is a no vote. The process leading up to it is they didn't talk to any Republicans. They wanted to negotiate it on their own, and they put just about every grab bag item that the more left-wing Democrats have been demanding all this time, because, you know, the previous bills have been fairly well negotiated, right? I mean, there's still stuff that got in there, like, you know, National Endowment for the Arts and $25 million for Kennedy Center and stuff like that that we've all heard about with previous iterations, that we all just kind of grind our teeth and say, okay, I guess part of the cost of doing business when you have a split body back here. But, okay, you know, the bigger picture was we needed to get that relief, like we were talking about earlier in the call with the paycheck protection for the businesses that are continuing to pay their employees and have pledged they'll bring them back when this thing is deemed over with. Yeah. So, you know, that's the premise, is that we're focused on things going to help the survivability once we come out of this. We want those jobs to be there when they come back. We want those businesses to be there when they come back. The businesses have a reason, you know, they're not just to enrich, you know, fat cat owners of businesses, like is a lot of the rhetoric of the left, but that, you know, these are businesses that people patronize, you know. We go to them, we shop at them, we buy and get services from them because these are things we need. Otherwise, they wouldn't be a business. They wouldn't be in an economy very long if they didn't have a market, you know. So,
yeah, we
so there's
need
jobs
to,
there. We want the business to be there as customers. We want to be there for their employees. And, yes, even we even like employers. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, well, small businesses is the backbone of this country, and I agree that the fact is people think, oh, look at these CEOs are getting millions of dollars. Now, I don't get millions of dollars. I guess you could say I'm a CEO of my business. Nowhere close to that. But and most people are like me. You know, they've worked hard. They've been in their business 20, 30 years. They're at that age where, you know, they're starting to see, okay, about another 10 years here. Well, you know, the impact that this has on those businesses, I mean, it's enough for many of them just to throw in the towel. And the other
you mentioned Black Bear a minute ago, like the one down in Gridley there. Those folks were on the closer side of retiring. I think they would have kept going had this not happened. But for a lot of people, you know, you look around, you see the recovery on this is going to be tough, and they're saying, let's just retire. I mean, when Obamacare came along, there's a lot of doctors and people in the medical field that said, you know what, this isn't any fun anymore. And so they pulled pin on staying in business there. And so you're going to see a big effect that you're saying that the stat was about 30% of restaurants would go under. Restaurants are tough business. They have tough margins. And it's kind of an elastic thing for people when they're spending. You know, if things get tight for folks, they quit going out. They quit doing those little extra things. And so
The other question that employers are having, the unemployment, the extra $600 a month. As some people in the unemployment are now making around $50,000 a year, and they're a little concerned, you know, that they're going to have problems getting people back. And yet there doesn't seem to be any, you know, a couple of states have said, look, if your job is back and your employer said, come on back, and you choose not to, then you're going to lose your unemployment. But that's not widespread. What do you think
of
that?
And there's anger over, we're hearing this, these anecdotes, that when people come back, the employees, in some cases, you know, are angry that they're opening back up because they want to run the full string of whatever the timeline is that you can stay on this before it runs out. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, there were several Republican senators when this was first passed that did run an amendment to say, you know, you shouldn't be able to make more in benefits than what the job was that you had to step away from. And we're seeing that. I know a small business that's not too far from me, their employees won't answer the phone when they see the boss calling. They go ahead and open back up and you know, do the services that we do, and they're avoiding the phone call.
Wow.
So, you know, that's part of the flaw of this thing, and it's part of how the Democrats wanted it in there. And so part of this bill is that they want to, you know, kick out another $1,200 payment per household, but also proposing $2,000 per person per month for the foreseeable future. Where the heck does that come from? You know?
Where does it come from?
There's a lot of people getting benefits that haven't been sidelined from their jobs. There's a lot of people that weren't in the workforce to begin with that are getting some of these benefits. And so that's the misuse of this thing. And with the gigantic size of it, it's something that I guess couldn't be refined or couldn't be politically done because, you know, the difference between Republicans and Democrats on that was the compromise was struck that it stayed how it is. So, but it's pretty sad and it's pretty maddening because we're all going to pay for this long term.
Let me change the subject just for a minute here.
Sure.
The election down in Orange County, when Mr. Garcia flipped the...
That's North L.A. County, actually. L.A.
Okay.
County, part of Ventura County, yeah.
Okay, well, but he flipped it. First time that's happened in California in like 23, 24 years. What's that say?
First one we've gained back, yes,
yeah.
In a while.
But that had been before a Republican area down
right.
there, or red area.
It had been for many years. I think it was Buck McKeon's seat and then Steve Knight, who was a colleague of mine in the state legislature, had that for, I want to say one term, and then 2018 happened, and the boomerang on a lot of districts around the country is when we lost the House. But in California, we had seven seats that, they were targeting, and seven seats that we were mostly winning, I think, until, you know, on election night or... And then the ballot harvesting came in, and boom, you start seeing all these flipping. Now, some of we lost directly on election night. It's kind of hard to keep track of this time, but that was part of that boomerang of 2018 and part of the ballot harvesting wave that Steve Knight lost to, a gal named Katie Hill, who later was the one that ended up having a bunch of personal ethical problems that all came out. That's the term thruple came out.
Yes.
From her, so anyway.
But okay, so and then there was another, we had an assemblywoman, a Republican, on a special election right here in California, won over a Democrat.
Yeah, that's Melissa Melendez. She was in the assembly, and she took over a Senate seat down there in that desert area. It had been held as a Republican seat.
Okay.
That wasn't a flip; it was
okay.
a hold.
Okay.
In that case, there. I don't want to, you know, dampen the parade here, but that was...
I was wondering about that. But there's been a couple other special elections that Republicans have won. Do you see...
Yeah, we won one in Wisconsin. That was another hold. Sean Duffy retired because of, you know, certain issues he needed to take care of with family and family health and stuff. So he stepped down in that Wisconsin one. And a fellow named Tom Tiffany, Republican, held that seat, too. So we're doing good on our holds on a couple North Carolina seats that had some problems. Those are holds, just midterm retirements. We haven't blown any of those since 2018 that I'm recalling. I think we've held all the ones we should, and we flipped that one. Again, flipping one in California is a great sign. Mike Garcia did a really good job of pulling that in, not just by a narrow margin, but by a good strong margin. So,
that was like 12%.
Go ahead.
I said that was like 12%. Now, CNN, of all people, did a poll of the swing states, 12 swing states, and President Trump is just very, very strong over Joe Biden in those swing states. And this came from CNN, which...
That's weird. I see Fox News wants to say he's losing in all of them.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
You know.
I can't figure out, you know, why, you know, what the differences are. But what when you're back there in D.C., and all of this is going on. What kind of feelings are you having for this upcoming election? I mean, is there going to be conventions? I think.
I'll be honest with you, Carl. You have less feel for what life feels like when you're in D.C. than when you're at home.
Okay.
Okay. You know, I mean, the week is really busy, and all that. I mean, we get our rhetoric that we talk to each other about and such, but I don't really rely on when I'm hanging around here of what the feel is for the direction of the country per se as when I'm listening at home and it's Beltway or it's hype, everything's hyped and just divisive here, so I listen to it but I discount it too. And so I think obviously before the virus things were going very strong for Trump. And it's only because of the media rhetoric and what every Democrat speech that comes out there is somehow trying to assign a new piece of blame, or how, you know, something was mishandled. Like, well, you know, I don't care who you are, what party you are. This was a moving target from the beginning on that, you know. And so how do you define this virus? And I think the most telling thing, Carl, is that the difference between, say, blue state governors and red state governors on the reopening, on the freedoms that were allowed in those states amidst this, is telling as to what the direction is. So in Michigan, for example, that governor there, she had a press conference here about a week ago. She's actually seemed to be smiling and smirking about the shutdowns, the restrictions she was talking about. Some of them are enjoying this. Then you take, for example, a former colleague of mine here now is Ron DeSantis, became governor of Florida. And he's opening the place up. And they're having less incidences of infection and deaths and, you know, all the stats than Governor Cuomo in New York, who everybody thinks is a hero right now. You know, so maybe that's an unfair comparison because New York is a gateway, maybe different than Florida and such for their ports and such. But you look at blue state governors versus red state governors on this, and red state ones are really, really trying to preserve freedom and options for people, and the blue ones seem to have a zeal for keeping things cinched down when they say, "Oh, we're not going to do it until we have a vaccine." Again, vaccines are moving targets, and think about it. A vaccine generally takes 12 to 18 months to come to an approved, marketable, usable thing. So let's take the 18 months, because that seems more typical. All right. So they come up with several of them, and they finally pick one or two or three or whatever. How long will it take to get that out to where a high enough percentage population of the public is there to satisfy the demands of these people saying vaccines? You know, will that take another 6 months? So we're talking 2 years of being under halfway through phase three of reopening, let alone phase four, public gatherings, that these people are going to require. How many people are going to put up with that?
They're not. They're not enforcing it. And how can you keep people from going to birthday parties or weddings or, you know, things in their family, you know? Oh, no big family gatherings. Well, no, that's not going to work. You know, guess what? You know, people. Well,
I don't think they will after a while. I mean, you saw, you know, the New York mayor was coming down hard on Jewish people from New York for having, you know, a one or two funeral services like they do traditionally there. And he the rhetoric he was using on his tweets and such, it was so extreme. I wonder, where is the backlash going to come from this kind of control, you know? And that New York mayor, he's a real doozy anyway. I don't know what he thought he was doing running for president, but anyhow.
Hey, we have a caller here. And Terry, please stay on.
Mayor, he's a real.
Yeah, stay on point here, buddy, because we got to take a quick break here.
Oh, yeah, Congressman, thank you so much, first of all, for being on it. Thank you. A lot of good words of wisdom. Thank you, Congressman.
Oh, sure.
You know, the thing is that basically, hasn't the Board of Supervisors just opened themselves up to a Title 18, meaning that they are trying to use the color of law, their authority, their positions, to stop people from their constitutional rights? And I know people in Shasta County are already looking at this, and there's rumblings about talking to the DA. I think they need to back off, and Congressman, I agree with you. These policies that are being used by Shasta County are not law. And thanks again for great insight for us. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
And I'd like to get your thoughts on that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Well, first of all, what we have going on is we are the elected ones, okay? We are the ones that answer directly to the people, and we're the ones that, no matter what the topic is, we have to look at the full spectrum, the full breadth of what a given topic or situation is. And so with this situation with the virus, what you might be saying about the supervisors or any government of elected officials is that they're deferring almost completely to the health officers. And and that's it's wise to listen and listen closely to them, especially early on in the virus, right? We didn't know what we had, so we had a great amount of caution. You might say an overabundance of caution, but I didn't necessarily disagree with it in the beginning. But now too many stats, too many numbers are coming out, and too much manipulation has maybe happened. We're in a lot different spot. So what it looks like to me is that the electeds that truly have the power, they're the ones that hire the health officers. They're the ones that are making the legislative decisions, whether federal, state, or local, of what the policy is going to be. And so they need to take every angle of this, each with a grain of salt, and come up with a mix that finally works at the end, you know. Because health officers, you know, I respect where they are coming from, but they're going to be extremely cautious towards absolute no risk, right? They don't want to be responsible for a single death or a single infection or what have you. So they're going to go way beyond what maybe when you average everything out of what it should be, what's practical. Because when you're talking about what should be happening here, it's really looking to me like it should narrow down to those that are vulnerable because of, you know, maybe their age or because of their immunities and certain other issues they have. Those are the ones that have been trying to protect all this time by not, you know, going into their homes. Anyway, trying to shorten this up here, but those are the ones that probably at this point need to be focused more on continuing shelter in place as their needs are met, but let everybody else go out and do what needs to be done. The rest of the world is not waiting for us. You know, I mean, we just planted our crop this spring. The calendar doesn't wait for us to sit still. We still have to grow food. We still have to get it to market, get it processed, all those things. They still have to happen. If the whole country just took the year off, and I know there's essentials and they keep working and such. So this comes down to the elected officials have to take the information they're given by health officers and others and put that all in the mix of how their policy is going to be. And I think you're seeing many of our counties that have winnowed this out. We're several weeks into this, and they've moved from that extreme position, maybe necessary early on, to one of like, hey, we can open up again. And so those are the things the supervisors and all of them need to be weighing out.
Well, and what Terry is talking about, that, you know, how long can a state of emergency be, you know, be sustained, one, but how long will it last? And, it, you know, there's all types of legal ramifications that, unless...
Yeah, a lot of them are 60 days, 90 yeah. days, you know, with War Powers Act and things like that. The president himself only has authorization, I think, for 90 days to be able to move military around to do things. And that's a pretty high extreme. So I think it's a similar measure for whether a governor can declare that until a legislature has to come in and rubber stamp that or say no, you know, or that goes to the locals. So yeah.
What do you see besides this $3 trillion extravaganza is going to happen? It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Happening?
Our Republican leaders, or, you know, Senate Leader McConnell over on the other side of the building, they're taking a little more. Why don't we see how the programs we've already funded are working? How's the money in the pipeline for those already? You know, we did a double down on hospitals here with the last bill. We hadn't used the funds from the previous go around, but okay, we went for it. And, you know, hospitals are in a tough way, so it doesn't have to all be spent at once. But you saw with the previous paycheck protection supplement that was done, has that been 2 weeks now? The president originally proposed about a $251 billion supplement to that, and that was about 4 weeks ago, and it took 3 weeks worth of hemming and hawing and misfires of Mrs. Pelosi trying to load up that simple bill. Because what the president asked for, and I think what some of our congressional leaders asked for, hey, let's just do a quick and dirty $251 billion addition to the PPP, come and go, boom, and keep going. The rest of the program, we want to see how it's going to perform, what it needs to be, how it needs refinement, whatever, and we'll authorize, we can come back and do that a little bit later. And that's what they're talking about on this bill here. We have money in the pipeline for all these aspects here. Mitch has been saying pretty strongly that we shouldn't be going whole hog with this. This $3 trillion doubles everything we've done in the previous four bills, okay? And this is a big amount of money. And what I don't understand with the Democrats is they don't seem to really care about how you pay for things or where it comes from, because they're proposing all sorts of, as I mentioned, you know, $2,000 per person per month for who knows how long. That's AOC type stuff. It's just no reality, and things do cost money, and it all ends up being at the taxpayer or the debt load anyway. And someday, if interest rates ever go back up, the interest on the debt load is going to be amazingly high, and that'll preclude anything we do in general fund spending because we'll be servicing only debt.
And now I'm going to change the subject totally to a national level. There's so many comments about Joe Biden. And without naming names, do you have?
Hey, Carl, do you need to take a break?
What, do you need one?
Well, there's a vote up right now. It'll take me about 90 seconds to go take care of it.
Okay, then I'll take a break right now, and we'll bring you right back.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, we'll take a quick break here, and for about 2 minutes, let's go.
Enjoy year-round access to everything Turtle Bay Exploration Park has to offer with a discounted annual membership. On sale now through May 31st for $15 off. All new and existing memberships are extended for the duration of the pandemic closure. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Reading Rancheria is proud of our efforts to help lead our community to reopen the local economy in a safe and effective way. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Reading Rancheria and a member of the Shasta County Roadway to Recovery Committee. I would like to thank Shasta County for practicing safe social distancing. As coronavirus cases continue to shrink, Shasta County is looking at ways to reopen our economy in a meaningful and safe way. Make no mistakes, we are not through this yet. We have, however, been blessed with an opportunity to discuss ways to reopen businesses. We are proud to play our part.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. The chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Enjoy year-round access to everything Turtle Bay Exploration Park has to offer with a discounted annual membership. On sale now through May 31st for $15 off. All new and existing memberships are extended for the duration of the pandemic closure. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
In these uncertain times, do you need a much-needed break from cooking? If so, let Mary's Pizza Shack take care of you with their to-go delivery. Curbside pickup. Mary's is offering to-go beer and wine at a special discounted rate. And as always, they have their famous pizza, pasta, soups, and salads. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. From Mary's family to yours, please be safe.
Just a small town girl.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Our guest today is Congressman Doug Emhoff. I don't know if he's back yet.
I'm here.
Oh,
I'm here.
You know what? I didn't realize you could vote that fast.
Well, I'm just off the floor in one of the hallways with all the statues right now.
Okay.
Speaking with you here, so yeah.
That you know what? We've got a few minutes left, Congressman. What do you want to tell your constituents out there?
Well, you wanted to ask about Biden. You want to cover that?
Oh yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that because, you know what? You know, of course, everything is so partisan, the media and all this.
Yeah,
but I have seen him on TV with my own eyes saying things that are strange. Do your counterparts, and I know you have friends that are Democrats. Well, maybe,
sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Of course you do.
I was on a plane with about 4 of them yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, are they concerned about this? I mean, when they talk among themselves saying that, wow, you know, we're not sure about this.
Well, I haven't quizzed them too hard on it, but they're gonna play team ball and support them in anything public. But you know, there's some misgivings there. I mean, but they rallied behind him at the end, as you saw after that Super Tuesday when they thought it was going to be either Bernie or who knows what, and they propped up Joe. I mean, propped up, I guess, is not the nicest term when I think of you know who Joe Diffie was. He had a country singer called Prop Me Up by the Jukebox. Anyway.
Anyway.
Or I think of Weekend at Bernie's. But
Joe, you know, I've met Joe, and he's a pretty nice guy, you know, at a White House deal there. And I don't think he is who he used to be, and I'm not talking about, you know, some of the other things, but just he has to run so far to the left in this primary. You know, he's had to say things and do things, and I know he's fought it a little bit. He's had to get out of his element. I think that's kind of hurt him a little bit, is that he has to say rhetoric and things that I don't think really fit who he is,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that, I think that's put him in a bit of a discomfort, and combined with, you know, a lot of the speculation about, well, how is his health and stuff, you know? And I hate to go there because it's just...
Yeah,
that'll be determined by others.
Yeah,
I'm
glad you're not going there. It just seems like
no.
You know, the idea. You know, I mean, the presidency is a tough job. I mean, look at everybody that's gone in there. You know, Obama at the end was great. I mean, it's not an easy job.
No, and it's going to be even more stressful as more time goes by, as more issues come forward. You know, China's not sitting still. They're screwing around on the South China Sea. China's going to do what they're going to do. Okay. I'm glad President Trump has been